I want to lead us this morning in some thoughts. We're going to go to the Gospel of Matthew, and we're going to remember some popular stories about Jesus and the disciples. Before I get there, one of my favorite things to do is not so much to go shopping. Let me just clarify. How many shoppers do I have? Thank you. All right. One lonely man, two lonely men amongst the ladies. I don't mind going, but what I tend to do is I find me a spot out someplace in the middle where I can sit, and because what I really enjoy doing is watching people. How many people watchers do I have? Okay, there you go. Thanks. And if I'm not there, I'm usually down in the bookstore looking at books, and I kind of go back and forth. And I may find a clothes rack to lean against every now and then when the gals are in the dressing room and trying things on. But anyhow, I'm sitting out, and I'll watch, and sometimes I feel so bad because sometimes you see a mom and a little one. And the little one is just bent on having their way. And I'm sitting there trying to not make it evident that I'm watching, but I'm kind of catching, you know, out of the corner of my eye. And the little one, I mean, the more mom pulls, the more they pull. And you get this tug of war kind of thing. And oh, and I just think, oh, that poor mom. It is so hard. That little one is making it so much harder than it needs to be. If that little one would just go with mom and cooperate, it wouldn't be this tug of war, you know. And I sit there and I watch, and oh, just making it harder than it needs to be. And I thought, and then I'll think, well, are there times that I make it harder than it needs to be? Can anybody relate to making things harder than they need to be? All of us at times, for sure. And so I think, well, you know, sometimes I've shared in the past where I like to exercise and I like to lift weights, and sometimes I'll do certain exercises and they'll make me sore, and it's not a good sore. It's a ouchy, painful, not a good thing. And you may say, well, Bill, why do you continue to lift and do those exercises if it makes you sore? Why are you making it harder than it needs to be? Why do we do that sometimes? Why do we sometimes just continue to do things even though we know the consequences, that it's going to make my shoulder hurt, it's going to make my arms hurt, it's going to make my back hurt? And someday we're going to walk in here like David Mack, and we're going to be all like, oh my goodness, you know. Sometimes I'll eat certain foods, Pastor Joseph, and I know when I'm going to get ready to eat it that it's probably going to upset my stomach. But I continue. How many are with me? And you may say, well, Bill, why are you making it harder? Why don't you just stop eating that if you know that it's going to bother you like that? Why do you keep eating it? Okay. Well, the disciples were not much different. The disciples of Jesus. They had a habit. In fact, I believe my thought this morning is that we all have a tendency to make things harder than they need to be at times. All of us, it's for some reason, it's just kind of that nature, that human kind of thing, that there are places and times and circumstances where we just tend to make things harder. Well, remember with me the disciples. For example, one time, parents were bringing their children to Jesus. This was not the mom dragging the little one through the mall with a tug of war, but the kids were actually wanting to go where mom wanted, so they go to Jesus. But remember, the disciples said, no, don't do that. Stop that. They didn't think it was right for the mom and the dad, the parents, to bring the little ones to Jesus. Well, what did Jesus say? Don't keep the little ones from me. Bring the kids to me. Jesus welcomed the children, put them on his knee, I think, put his arms around them. Maybe he talked with them. Maybe, I don't know what all he did, but he welcomed the children. I know that. The disciples sometime remember there was a time when there was a blind man sitting on the side of the road and he was yelling out. He found out that Jesus was on his way. It was Jesus who was coming. And he said, "Oh, Son of God, have mercy on me." And what did the disciples do? They got ahead of Jesus and they tried to tell the man to be quiet. And the more they told the man to be quiet, the more he yelled out, "Jesus, have mercy." Well, Jesus comes along and he says, "What do you want? What do you have need of? I'm here to provide. I'm here to meet your need." You see, the disciples made it harder than it needed to be. If they would have just stayed in step with Jesus, they would have known that he was there to heal. But they got ahead and they tried to quiet the guy down. One last thought. The disciples, remember, they were in a house this time, and Mary came in with some oil, real expensive oil, and she anointed Jesus with this oil. And Judas was one of the 12. He was picked by Jesus. And Judas said, "This should have been sold and given the money given to the poor. This is not right." Well, we read in the scripture that Judas's motive was that of a thief. He actually would put his hand in and take some out for himself. He wasn't concerned about the poor. He was concerned that he wasn't going to have enough for himself. And so he rebukes Mary, and Jesus then in turn rebukes him and says, "You have the poor with you all the time, but what she has done is a blessing to me because she has anointed me for my death." Sometimes our motives and our expectations and our attitudes and our perspectives, all of that stuff can at times make it harder than it needs to be. True? Sin has a very definite way of making things harder than they need to be. I want to take us to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14. And our text is actually verses 22 through 33. Before we get there, though, I want to give you the context of the story. There are actually two events that happen back to back. The first event is what we refer to as the feeding of the 5,000. How many remember that story? It's recorded in the Gospels in parallel accounts. In the feeding of the 5,000, the disciples come to Jesus and they say to Jesus, "There are so many people here, send them away." It made sense. Send them away. Jesus' response to that was, "They don't need to go away. You're making it harder than it needs to be." Think about what the disciples, I mean, 5,000 men plus women and children, and they just wanted Jesus to send them away, get them on their way. "We don't have what they need, so send." No, Jesus said, "No, they don't need to go away." Well, then they said, "Well, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus, you don't understand. We don't have enough for all this many people. I mean, surely you can understand the math, Jesus, that 5 fish... Yeah, 5 loaves and 2 fish are not going to be enough to feed all this many people." And Jesus said, no, in a sense, in my words, you're making it harder. Just bring them to me. Bring me what you have. Don't make it hard. In the parallel accounts, we actually see where Jesus, it says, I believe it was in John's account, it says where Jesus knew ahead of time what he was going to do. He talked with Philip. He was talking with Philip, and he was saying, "Philip, feed these people." And Philip said, "Well, Jesus, it would take a lot of money to do that." And it says in the parallel account that Jesus already had in mind what he was going to do. So as they bring what they have to Jesus, as they release what would seem to be a minimal amount, just a small, insufficient amount, Jesus simply takes in his hands. He blesses, he breaks, and he distributes, and heaven comes down. Heaven meets the need to such a point to where it says that at the end of the distribution, everyone ate and was filled, or they were satisfied. Now think about that with me, because out of all those people, we have to know that there were some who were more hungry than others. There were some that's probably going to look like some of you later this afternoon when we line up and you walk away from the table with your plate piled up. Remember, I like watching people, all right? I'm going to watch you today. How many pieces of chicken did Shane get, huh? Okay. Now, you know, some of those big boys, some of those guys, they had to have, you know, a pretty healthy appetite. So when the fish and the loaves came by, they were taking out. It says, interesting, that they were all satisfied. Everyone was filled to the fullest extent, even with leftovers. It seems like Jesus liked leftovers. Heaven likes leftovers. I don't know. They had baskets left over. It reminds me of the scripture when it says that God is able to do above and beyond what we could even think possible. The disciples thought there is no way possible that we have enough to meet the need. Not only did Jesus meet the need, but he went above and beyond, and there was leftover. Oh, yeah. They were all filled and satisfied. All the men, all the women, all the boys, all the girls. No matter how big their appetite, everyone left filled, satisfied. Jesus said it this way. He said, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled. The level to which we hunger is the level to which we can expect the filling. The more I'm hungry, the more I will receive on the filling. It's not a lack on heaven's side. Heaven has everything that's needed. The issue is the hunger. How hungry am I? Because there is sufficient need to meet every hunger. I can't be hungry more than heaven's provision. They all ate and were filled and satisfied. The disciples go around and they gather the baskets. Now we're ready for the text. Look at it with me in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Immediately after this feeding of the 5,000, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went on up on the mountainside by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there. Jesus was there alone. The boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the winds because the wind was against it. In another account, one of the parallel accounts, it says this language that I like. It says that the disciples were rowing against the wind. Have you ever felt like you're rowing against the wind? Anybody? Oh, yeah. Interesting. So Jesus is up on the mountainside. He's praying. He has sent the disciples out in the boat. One of the accounts says that they were about three and a half miles out away from shore. One says that they were in the middle of the lake, so they were at a distance out, and would quite often would be the case is where a storm would quickly come upon, and they were at threat, they were at risk, in danger, and Jesus was not with them. He sent them, and his presence stayed behind. So the disciples are out in the middle of the lake rowing with all that they have within them, rowing against the wind. They were being buffeted, the wind and the waves, and they were at legitimate risk. And Jesus is on the mountainside praying. During the fourth watch, verse 25, during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Well, Lord, if it's you, Peter said, tell me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. Peter got down out of the boat walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind and he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Verse 31, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" When they climbed into the boat, Jesus and Peter, the wind died down, and then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Pray with me. Father, over the next few moments, I pray, God, that your words would be my words and your thoughts be my thoughts. Give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, minds to understand, God, what you have for us today, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't make it harder. The interesting aspect that we don't see in our text, but it's in a parallel account. I think it's in Mark's account, chapter 6. It says that the disciples had hardened hearts. They didn't understand the blessing of feeding the 5,000. They had a hardness of heart, a closeness of mind. They had a, so to speak, a stubborn refusal, an inability to grasp what had just happened with the feeding of the 5,000. Their hearts were hardened. One observation this morning in the aspect of making things harder is that I would have to say that not having Jesus in our boat makes it harder. Not having the presence of Jesus with us makes it harder. Would anybody agree? Now, you know, I've never thought about this until this past week when I was studying this. But this aspect of moving without the presence of Jesus. Now, obviously, it says in the text that Jesus had them get in the boat and he sent them on. But it reminds me of the scripture in Exodus chapter 33 when Moses said to God, "God, we do not want to go without your presence. God, if you don't go with us, we're not going to go. It would be better for us to stay right here if your presence doesn't go with us." I think it could have been possible that the disciples could have said to Jesus, "No, we want to stay in your presence. If your presence doesn't go with us, Lord Jesus, we don't want to go." Now, I never thought about that before. But think about that. What would have happened if the disciples would have expressed a desire if their hearts had not been hardened? They could have had the opportunity to go up on the mountainside with Jesus and enter into a spirit of prayer and be with the presence of Jesus, and possibly they would have missed the entire encounter of the storm. Think about that. If they would have stayed with the presence of Jesus, I think they missed an opportunity because of the hardness of their hearts. I think Jesus sent them on because he understood that there needed to be a softening. There needed to come a realization. Why do I say that? Because at the end of this encounter with the waves and the storm, it said that at the end, it said that they worshiped him and acknowledged that truly you are the Son of God. That could have happened. That recognition could have happened at the feeding of the 5,000. But they missed the moment. They distribute. They receive the extra. They bring the extra back to Jesus. But they didn't acknowledge Jesus at that time of his lordship and of his sovereignty, of his reign. They missed the moment. And as a result, Jesus sends them on in a boat. And they get caught in the storm, rowing against the wind. Think, if they would have had the heart of Moses, if they would have said in a similar way, "Jesus, if you don't go with us, we don't want to go. I don't want to get in that boat, Lord, without your presence with me." And going up on the mountainside, I pictured, think of the peace that they could have had. Think of the rest. Think of the encounter that they could have had if they would have gone up on the mountainside and bowed their hearts with Jesus and remained in His presence. Think about how heaven could have come down and they could have avoided that whole storm encounter. But they made it harder than it needed to be. How often do we move without the presence of Jesus? How often do we make decisions and go places and take actions and behavior without His presence being with us? So not having Jesus in the boat makes it harder than it needs to be. Secondly, not understanding God's perspective makes it harder. I've already referred to this, but in Mark chapter 6, verse 52, because they had not understood about the loaves, their hearts were hardened. I think the reason their hearts became hardened at the feeding of the 5,000 is because that they were focused on the cost. Jesus was focused on the blessing. Now, there is a cost, but without the blessing, the cost becomes burdensome. It becomes difficult to sustain. There is a cost, but the disciples, they focused on the cost, and the focus of the cost made it harder than it needed to be. Jesus focuses on the blessing. Philip, when he was approached by Jesus, and he responds, "The cost, Jesus, should we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" And in John chapter 6, in the account there, it says Jesus asked this to test him, for he knew what he was going to do. Jesus being able to focus on the blessing was what was able to bring the aspect that all were filled. Jesus focusing on the blessing was able to help them, everyone to be able to receive exactly the portion that heaven had available. But the disciples were so fastened and so focused on the inability, their lack of what would be needed, and the cost of what would be needed. And Jesus just simply said, "I know heaven is able." Thirdly, not taking Jesus at His word makes it harder. Have you ever done that? Have you ever read something in Scripture or had something in your heart and you questioned it? Not taking Jesus at His word. Well, where I'm getting this from is when Jesus was walking on the waves and He gets out by the boat. It's interesting that in some accounts it says that Jesus was actually going to continue walking on by, but they called out, they yell, they're afraid, they're terrified, not only from the waves and the wind, but their emotions are overcome because of what they're seeing. They don't understand their perception of, "I think we see someone walking on the water. How is that possible? That's hard. How? That's not even a possibility." But yet Jesus is walking and they yell out and Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. Take courage. It is I. It's me. It's the Lord." Watch what Peter says the very next. "Lord, if it's you," he just said it was him, not taking Jesus at His word makes things harder than they need to be. If Peter would have just received that simple word from Jesus, "It's me." But Peter says, "Now, if it's you, Lord, have me come out on the water." Okay. Peter, if you want to make it hard, Peter, I don't think, needed to get out of the boat. We tend to focus on the fact that Peter started to sink. I don't think Peter needed to even get out of the boat. If he would have just taken Jesus at his word, they could have invited Jesus in the boat. But instead, for some reason, I don't know why Peter thought of this, but he made it harder than it needed to be. And Peter said, "Now, Jesus, if that's really you, then have me come out on the water." And Jesus says, "Okay, it's really me. Come on out." Now, we see that Peter does walk initially on the water. He takes however many steps. As he gets going, though, his focus begins to shift. His attention starts to be pulled. He starts to take more notice of what's happening around him, and his attention comes off of Jesus and starts looking at the situation. Can anybody relate to that? Looking at the situation. Fourthly, getting our eyes off of Jesus makes it harder than it needs to be. When Peter saw the wind, he became afraid and he cried out. Hebrews 12:2 says, "We must keep our eyes on Jesus, the source and the perfecter of our faith." Another translation says, "To fix your eyes on Christ, to keep your focus centered fully on Him," because when we get our attention distracted and pulled away and we start to look at situations and circumstances and we begin to lose sight of the Lord Himself, then things become harder than they need to be. So Peter cries out, and Jesus, it says in verse 31, Jesus immediately reached out His hand and caught hold of him. These were the same hands, the hands that reached out and grabbed Peter. They were the same hands that just prior to that broke the bread, blessed and distributed. It was the same hands. The same hands that had the ability to receive heaven down to earth and distribute to the fullness of all those present were the same hands that were able to immediately reach out and grab Peter and bring him to a safe place. In the hands of Jesus. I'm thankful that Jesus is patient. The psalmist said in Psalms 118, verse 1, he said, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His faithful love endures forever." Is anybody else thankful that we serve a patient God? Oh, yes. Even though Peter and all the disciples made it harder than it needed to be, in His great love and mercy and enduring patience, Jesus afforded them the opportunity for the hardness of their heart to become melted, to receive Him in the fullness of who He is. King of kings, Lord of lords. Even the winds and the waves obey Him. When I studied this out this past week, I started to notice the immediacy of God. What do I mean? It actually says throughout this story that there were things that happened immediately. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat. Right after the blessing of the 5,000 being fed, immediately, suddenly, Jesus said, "Get in the boat. You have a lesson to learn. There's something you're not understanding. You're missing the moment. You're missing what heaven has available to you. It's not about eating fish and bread. It's about heaven coming down and filling the lives of people. But you're missing it." So Jesus immediately says, "Get in the boat. There's a lesson. There's something that you need to understand here. You're making it harder than it needs to be." So immediately Jesus says to them when he's walking on the water and he's on top of the situation and they are overwhelmed by the situation. They are buffeted and they're doing all that they can within their natural ability to literally survive and stay above the water. Immediately, Jesus cries out and says, "Take courage, don't be afraid, it's me, I'm here, I'm the one who's able to meet your need. I met everyone's need with the filling of the 5,000. I'm the same one, I'm here and available. Don't be afraid." Immediately, Jesus responds to their cry. Immediately, Jesus reaches out his hand and takes a hold of Peter and lifts him up and brings him to a victorious place. We just sang, victory in Jesus. Do we fully understand that there is complete victory in the Lord Jesus? Every situation, every storm, every need, every circumstance, Jesus is able to immediately reach out and lift us to the place of overcoming. Immediately. There was no hesitation on Jesus' part. When Peter cried out and he began to sink, it said immediately Jesus reached out and lifted him up. Now there is actually one more instance, not in our text, but in, I believe it's in John's account. It says when Jesus and Peter got in the boat, that the wind dies down. Now remember, they're out in the middle of a lake. Three and a half miles. That would tell me that they have an equal distance to go to get to the other side. And in John's account, it says immediately when they got in the boat that the boat arrived at the shore. That's pretty incredible. It's not recorded in this specific account, but in John's account, I believe, it says immediately. Wow. They are moved, transported from their current position to their destination that they had originally set out for. Immediately, they move from the middle of the lake. Surrounded by waves and wind and being buffeted, the waves stop, the wind stops. Jesus, his presence now is in the boat, and immediately, instantly, suddenly, they arrive at the other shore. Kind of a hidden miracle. We don't tend to hear about that. And they arrive on this other side of the shore. I kind of think that God likes to function immediately. The immediacy of God. As I was thinking about this, my heart went to Acts chapter 2. When Jesus, post-resurrection, tells the disciples to go and wait. How many here this morning like to wait? Go and tarry. Go wait. Go position yourself in this place. And as you're there together, God will send you the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, verse 2, suddenly, immediately, a sound came from heaven and filled the place. Like a violent wind filling the whole house where they were sitting, and they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them, and all of them were filled. Make the connection. The feeding of the 5,000, they were filled and satisfied. And now, shortly after, Jesus has the disciples go through an experience where they understand and the heart begins to soften and they begin to understand that there's fullness available. There is filling available. And as they're gathered in this upper room, they suddenly experience heaven coming down and they're all filled. It's a different filling. It's not a filling with fish and bread, but it's a filling of heaven itself. It's a filling of God's presence. That was what it was all about from the beginning. You with me? A filling. Suddenly, a blowing of a violent wind. But this wind is not putting them at risk. This wind is not overwhelming them. This violent wind is a blessing of heaven coming down suddenly. And God shows up and says, receive. The Holy Spirit comes in and fills them. And they were all filled to satisfaction. Oh. Suddenly. They began to speak as the Spirit enabled them. You see, the process that God takes us on, this developmental process, it's step by step. He sees and He has patience and He has enduring love for us. He sees when we make things harder than they need to be. And because of His patient love and His enduring kindness for us, He doesn't give up, but He affords us more opportunity to be filled. Not having Jesus in the boat makes it harder. Do you have Jesus in the boat with you? Have you determined within yourself that you're not going to go any place unless His presence goes with you? I don't want to go any place without His presence going with me. I want to have the heart like Moses to say, God, if you don't go with me, I'm not going to go. I treasure your presence. I want your presence. I don't want to make things harder than they need to be, Lord. I don't want to go out in the middle of a lake without your presence and be rowing against the wind when I could climb the mountain with you and be in your presence. Oh, Lord Jesus, help me to stay in your presence. Not understanding God's perspective makes it harder. The hardness of their hearts, missing the moment, missing the opportunity. They were filled, possibly physically, with the eating of the fish and the loaves, but they missed the filling, the true fullness that God had for them. They walked right past it and missed it. Not taking Jesus at His word makes it harder than it needs to be. If Peter could have just received the simple word, Jesus saying, I'm here. Maybe somebody here this morning, you just need to hear that simple word of encouragement that God knows where you are. He sees you and He's here for you. Does anybody need to hear that? Yeah. Getting our eyes off of Jesus makes it harder than it needs to be. My heart and my desire this morning as Pastor Bill and just sharing is that as we continue to move forward and take steps, that every step that we take embraces the presence of Christ. Every place that we go, every decision that we make, every place that we take our families, we take with the presence of the Lord. Let's not make it harder than it needs to be. Amen. Amen. Bow your hearts with me this morning. Father, thank you. I pray, God, that you would help this simple instruction, this simple word, that, God, you would help us to have eyes to see and ears to hear, and God, help us to not make life harder than it needs to be. Help us to have your presence. Help us to see from your perspective. Help us to take you at your word. God, help us, I pray, to keep our eyes fixed firmly on Jesus. Help us as a congregation. Help us, Lord, to keep our full awareness centered in your goodness, your presence. Help us, God, to climb up the mountainside to the place of your presence and to remain with you and to not leave your presence and find ourselves struggling and striving in the midst of a storm when we could be with your presence. Oh, God, help us, Lord, to stay in step with you, to go with your motion, to move where you move, to go where you go, to stop when you stop. I pray for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Amen.